You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
The journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And, you know, Char, I'm feeling a bit under the weather. I feel like I need my own personal EMH, and I can't find the mobile transmitter.
Oh, shoot. Well, where did it go? I don't know. Is it broken? Is B'Elanna repairing it in engineering? I mean, do you have to go to sickbay?
Well, I mean, it's so easy to break the darn thing. Like, we found out in Equinox, you could just lightly tap it with a pad, and then it would shut down the doctor.
This is true. Still, that's very unfortunate. I mean, all he would have to do is give you a hypospray, and you'd be feeling fantastic.
And I'd be fine. I need some 24th century medicine today. So, folks, if I start to sound like Christopher Walken and lose my voice a little bit, that's why. Because I'm feeling a bit under the weather. And it's hard being a podcast host and DJ when you're feeling under the weather. The demands that you people have on us are such high pressure situations.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Char, I'm excited about this week. But before we get into this week, we forgot to do something last week when we talked about what Voyager would be like if it was on the air today. And we forgot to do a mention because that was not our own idea. That was submitted to us by Gene Russell, who is now a friend, a dear friend of To The Journey.
Yes, and has been for some time. He's written into the show several times. And yeah, forgive our slipping up there, Gene, because we apologize profusely. It just happened. And we hope you'll continue to submit show ideas in the future because we had a blast talking about that one. And you know what? This week, we're taking another listener's suggestion. So off we go. Who are we thanking this week?
This week, we're thanking the individual at the Twitter handle Flickwork. She gave us a very nice suggestion. Obviously, it was very nice because we're using it. And what we're talking about today is our top five episodes that we would use to introduce a child into Star Trek Voyager.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you're caught up on Earl Grey right now, Tristan, but they just discussed last week whether or not Star Trek, particularly TNG, but Star Trek, if it's a TV show for kids.
You know, I think so. I think every Star Trek has its own kid moments and its own not-so-kid moments.
Indeed.
I feel like, what do you think would be the most kid-friendly show out of all the series?
You know, to be honest, I think that it's a pretty dead heat between TNG and Voyager.
Really? Voyager's in the mix?
Yes, I know, surprise, surprise. I think both have a pretty wide range appropriateness for a general audience. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot on Voyager that's going to scare off a lot of kids and vice versa with TNG. Yes, there is a little bit of, say, death every now and then, like with Harry Kim, but you know what? I think kids have good sensibility to realize this is fiction, and you know what? Eventually, they're probably going to get used to the fact that we know this is going to happen next week, too, and it's going to be fine. Everybody's going to keep living, so I don't think anything's really scary. There's no hardcore concepts that are just going to totally ram them off, I don't think. Now, do you have a difference of opinion?
Yeah, I think my answer is definitely TOS, just for the sheer fact that it was made and broadcast in the 60s. And
really?
It was really, yeah, you know, like, I feel like there, you know, a lot of their audience was children, and they knew it, and a lot of the audience was teenagers and people who would go out on Friday nights, and, you know, that's why they had trouble with the time slot. I think that's why I choose TOS, is just because the time that it was made, and also they knew their audience, and their audience was children. But that doesn't mean that TNG and Voyager doesn't work with children. I'm just saying that's my pick out of all of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if the sensibilities of a younger child audience of this day and age would mesh with the 1960s kids that grew up with Star Trek and loved it so much. I just wonder if it's completely different from the expectations of what kids want and expect out of TV these days.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I mean, like, again, we're drifting into interest versus appropriateness. I think you're definitely right. I mean, you know, that's definitely a different conversation where if TOS aired today, just even with like say the remastered one aired today, you know, to a child, would they be as interested as a 1960s child? I think that is a definite cool conversation to have, and maybe we should submit that to our TOS Trek.fm people. But
yes,
in the instance of moving on, what we're going to do is, like as we talked about at the top of the show, is list our favorite five episodes to show to a kid that we think would be beneficial in easing them into the show. And I picked my five. They're in temporal order, but it's not like, oh, it's the top five from the first couple of seasons or anything like that, because I feel like with Voyager, you can jump around pretty easily. It's not as interchangeable as TOS, but it's not like DS9 where you have these really long arcs, especially in the later seasons. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the episodic nature of Voyager lends it to be able to jump around. So I'm really interested in knowing what your first pick is to introduce to a child.
Okay. Now, I think it's important to note for everybody out there that neither one of us has kids.
That's true. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I didn't even think about that.
I think that's a part of the equation. Let's just say that up front right now, because I'd be curious to know if we're totally off base with our methodology, the episodes that we pick. And so if any parents out there want to chime in and tell us we were either spot on or totally wrong or what you would choose, go to trek.fm/forums and let us know what you think. Now, that said, I'll kick off my list. I think that Once Upon a Time would be a great way to kick off a kid with Star Trek, because for one thing, okay, Naomi Wildman, she is a kid. Kids like stories about kids. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. She's a central character, and so they instantly have somebody that they can relate to, and it's kind of fun in a kid way. I mean, you've got The Adventures of Flotter, which is a very colorful and imaginative holodeck program, and I mean, I'm seriously, if I were a kid, I'd want to play in that program. But then there's also that great storyline with Naomi and Seven, the whole I am Borg thing where Naomi's kind of following her around and all that. And I think that makes Seven a little more personable, not just to any person of the audience, but especially to kids, because maybe she would come across as a more cold or scary character. And this levels that out a little bit.
I thought about this episode with the exact same reasoning that you put. You know, it has Naomi, you know, kids can connect to that character, especially if they're around that age. Naomi is an interesting character. It has a fun holodeck. It has fun characters. It has colorful characters. But the main reason why I didn't pick it is because it deals with an injured mother and not knowing how to deal with the child who may freak out from it. And so, like, for me, that's like, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't introduce the kid first, right off the bat, to a mother-child situation that could end in death.
Yeah, okay, you make a good point there. Maybe not right away.
I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying that's why I didn't pick it.
Yeah, no, that is a very good point. And I think maybe the age of the child might help make that decision. I mean, you wouldn't want a three-year-old to worry, oh no, is mommy going to die after watching this episode? But maybe, say, an eight-year-old is going to take that in stride and get into the adventure of it. Again, I don't know. I don't have kids. It's hard for me to gauge just because I'm not really around kids. That said, what is your first pick, buddy?
My number one is, you're going to laugh at me because this has been on so many of my lists. The listeners are probably going to give me a big eye roll when they hear this, and that is Twisted.
Okay, I'm not rolling my eyes at you, but I imagine there are people out there listening who are. Why would you show them Twisted?
Right off the bat, I started thinking about, I was like, okay, you know, like, I'm not going to show them the shoot because you literally see a guy get his throat cut. I'm not going to show them Blood Fever for obvious reasons. And so I tried to think, and I was like, okay, what's a good, clean episode that's early on? And Twisted is one of my favorite episodes of all time, and it's nice and clean. There's no violence. There's no sex. There's no innuendo. There's no harsh words. It's just some freaky stuff going on. And with Twisted, like, you get introduced to every single character. Every single character is there and almost gets equal screen time. And so if you're going to show a kid this program and say, like, this is Voyager, it gives you a good view of the ship. You see the bridge. You see sick bay. You see the holodeck. You see engineering. And you see lots of the hallways.
True that.
Yeah, you just... and so that, in a nutshell, is just that you get to see all the characters at their best. Like, you get to see their personalities come about. And it also starts out with a birthday, a surprise birthday party. And kids love birthday parties.
That's true. Who doesn't love a birthday party?
Exactly. And I just felt like this was a nice, safe, clean, good way to introduce them to the entire ship and all the characters.
Wow. I'm so glad you picked this. You make some very good points. And the only reason why I don't have it on my own list is because I worry that it would be boring.
I thought about that too. I really did, because it doesn't have phaser fire, it doesn't have any space battles.
Yeah, they're just walking around the ship the whole time.
Yeah, they're just walking. So that goes into what you're saying, like, how old is this kid? which I hate. I don't want to use that excuse for everything, every episode we do. But yeah, like, if they're a little bit older, yeah, sure, you know, they might be able to stay invested. But if they're younger and they just want pretty lights, this might not be the episode for them.
Yeah, no, I think you have to take that into account, because the sensibilities of the child, their attention span, and what they're capable of understanding is really going to make or break any selection. And the difference between age 3 and 8 is only 5 years, but that's worlds different in development. You know, 5 years in adulthood is nothing, but at that point of life is everything. So
yeah, it makes a big difference. So what's your number two?
Okay, my number two is The Haunting of Deck 12. Because again, very prevalent kids story. I mean, it's a ghost story. Kids love ghost stories, right? I think kids probably, and I say this from absolutely no experience whatsoever, but I would just assume that young children probably appreciate this episode more than adults do.
I think you're right, because it's Neelix focused, and I feel like kids might like Neelix more than adults do. And
yeah,
it's a nice literal storytelling episode.
It is.
We all have memories of our favorite uncle or the librarian reading us all a story, and as we're sitting around in a circle. And I think that definitely connects to it. Basically, I'm saying I should have picked it and I didn't.
Fair enough, man. Yeah, it's basically Uncle Neelix gathers you around and tells you a ghost story. That's what the episode is. And I really don't care much for the episode, but if I were an 8-year-old, I might love it. I'd like the 8-year-olds to chime in and see what their opinion is of this episode. Do they hate it? Do they love it? Is it just okay? I'd like to know. Okay, what's your next pick?
My number two... I'm kind of regretting this decision now, but I'm going to go with it.
Do it.
For some reason, when I picked this episode, I was like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense. And now I'm just kind of blanking on why I picked it. And that's Dreadnought.
Okay.
Maybe because when I was a kid, I was such a tech nerd. I loved taking stuff apart and finding out how things worked. I loved putting it back together if I could.
Yeah, me too.
I love me a B'Elanna episode. And I would definitely want to introduce my kid to B'Elanna as early as possible, and also show them a strong female role model that you can live up to, and there's plenty of those in Voyager, and I think that's the reason why. Like, granted, like, it has some pretty high concepts about two warring factions, and you know, like, the death of an entire world. Now, granted, we don't see it; we only hear about it, and it's only referenced, and it doesn't actually happen. And I think it's just seeing physical activity that really, I think, would connect with children, where it makes me feel like old astronaut work, like in the Apollo missions, where if something needed to get fixed, they went into bottom of the ship, pulled out a panel, crossed some wires, tried to fix things together, put things together. And it's not like how it normally is in Star Trek, where you're just like, oh, I'll just bypass this, boop, 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 and then it's fixed. Like, B'Elanna literally gets her hands dirty, and you know, uses her wits to fix things. And I feel like this was cool to me as a kid, and so I think that's why I think it would be cool for future generations.
Okay, I could see that. I could see a kid who's into technology appreciating the workings of this episode, the very physical nature of it, as you said. It's not a bunch of pressing buttons, even though it is very, it's not even very technobabble heavy. It's just, it's very techy. Blonde is playing with a robot. okay, that's another good, clean choice, too. There's not a whole heck of a lot of anything that should cause parents to do a double take.
Yeah, they like you're never going to have a moment in this episode where the mom and dad have the remote and they're like, oh, should I change it? You know, like,
right.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So how about let's go ahead and skip on to number three. What's your number three, Char?
Number three, this, I want to know your thoughts on this one. The 37s.
Oh.
I picked this because it's a fairly easygoing story. I think it's easy to follow. There are Earthlings in it from, you know, Earth's past, which should be maybe intriguing, interesting, recognizable, depending on the kid. But they'll realize, oh, these are old humans. They can gather that from the story. And then, of course, Voyager lands on the planet, so that's kind of cool. There's a floating truck in space, and that's kind of a cool introduction. I think kids might be attracted to that. Like, what is going on here? Why is there a truck in space? Mm-hmm. And I think just for the fact that it's a decent story to follow, it's got some action, but it's not violent and it's not too heavy. It just is, and I think a kid could appreciate that.
Char, I am shocked that you picked this episode. This
really?
This has gunfire, violence, alcohol, staying out late on a school night. This is just a No, I'm completely joking.
this is why I'm not a parent.
No, I like this episode a lot. Everybody knows I love this episode. This was one of the episodes that I actually bought on VHS. When they were coming out on individual episode tapes. I think you could definitely show this to a kid. I mean, there is violence, though. There's gunplay and even a gun wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
And like I said, there is alcohol, but, you know, I mean, in this day and age, what does it matter? Kids are watching Game of Thrones, so, you know, like, this is
yeah.
nothing.
This is true. Plus, it's not like they're getting drunk and having a raging party and violence and horrible things ensuing, criminal activities showing on the camera. No, it's just...
I know. I'm not saying this like, oh, you need to be wary of this. I'm completely just joking, but because you're absolutely right. And forgive the pun, but it's much like 1930s drinking, where it's just like, just a little pick-me-up, take a little nip from my old grandpa's cough medicine over here. Like, the kids aren't
That's
even
right.
going to know what it is.
It's true. Some kids probably don't even know what a flask looks like, so it might be completely over their heads. Who knows? So pretty innocent in the grand scheme of things. I give it a TV PG.
Absolutely. I think this is a great episode to show. Well, my third choice is a two-parter.
Ooh, what will it be?
I followed your rules. And
my rules?
This is my... Yes, these are totally your rules, because I think we should be able to cheat, but... I'd pick part one and part two for my three and fourth pick, and that is Future's End.
Oh, great, great pick. Okay, why?
I picked this one because I think it would be really cool, because it starts off in the 24th century. We see the ship. We see some phaser battle. We see them get pulled into a cool-looking vortex, and then all of a sudden they're in present-day Earth, and they're like, oh my gosh, this can totally relate to me, even though it's in the 90s.
It's not completely off base anymore.
Not too off base, but yeah, it's. I always love seeing episodes where Starfleet personnel in different locations, like weird locations that we have seen before, like the Old West or present day or the 1930s or 60s or things like that. There's some phaser battles in this episode, but no one really gets that injured. Like one hick falls down some stairs. We see the doctor running away. We see a van get vaporized. There is some torture, technically, but...
A little bit, but it's not waterboarding.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, you don't really see anything happen. All you see is the doctor writhing around and pretending like he's in pain. Like, you don't actually see any physical contact or any instruments or anything like that. So I feel I'm gonna give that one a pass. And also, it's just, I think it's funny. It's fun. It's a fun and funny episode.
It is.
Two episodes. And you get to see the ship do a low flyby in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of great visuals in this episode that'll keep the young kids interested, and also has some good story to keep the older kids interested.
Yeah. Oh, I so regret not putting this on my list. Good freaking pick. Yeah, absolutely. I remember, for me, my version of this was Star Trek IV. I watched the heck out of that movie. I was probably, 9 years old when we got the VHS. And I watched it and watched it and watched it. Yeah, I could totally see any age, any audience appreciating this episode just because it is relatable. The 90s weren't that far off. I mean, it's not like a complete period piece yet. So,
yeah.
Yeah, plus there's also a couple of little things that I don't know if kids would pick up on it, but certainly the parents might. Like Sarah Silverman and Ed Begley Jr. are both guest stars in that episode, and they're well known now. We've seen them everywhere, and so they can point and say, "Hey, look, who did blah 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 blah." And so there's that element of it too. Oh, fantastic pick. Very good job.
Well, thank you very much. I am really interested in hearing your number four.
Okay, number four. I decided to go really straightforward, I guess, because sometimes if you have somebody with a short attention span, what gets their attention? Laser guns. So I went for Macrocosm. It's just a good old action story. It's easy to follow. And yeah, okay, granted, yes, Janeway's got the rifle in her hand and she's going around, but she's shooting bugs.
That could be scary, though. There's a lot of dark lights, a lot of jump scares where you open up a door and then the monster comes at your face.
Yeah, but you know what? Some kids like scary. It depends on the kid, clearly. If it frightens them, obviously you don't want to show them this one. But I think for a kid who likes an adventure and doesn't mind scary stuff, they're probably going to get into this.
That's true. Yeah, this is one of those situations where you got to know your kid. And this is a great episode. And, it's very Rambo, Janeway Rambo situation. Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
Yeah, it could be too much for some kids, but for others, it might be appropriate. That's where parental discretion is advised.
Well, my number five, my last pick, I'm really hoping that it's your last pick, too. I wrote this down, and I'm like, I want Char to come through for me. I want her to think like I'm thinking and make this a grand finale.
Oh, boy.
Bride of Chaotica.
Yes! Yes! Oh, score! Yes, of course, Bride of Chaotica. Come on, how fun is this episode? Who cannot appreciate this? Of course kids are going to appreciate this. They better, or I'm going to have to smack them. Oh, wait a minute, no.
This isn't a Walmart. We can't just slap our kids around, okay? This is to the journey.
Yes, that's true, and we are family-friendly. I really wouldn't hit a kid, I swear.
So, Bride of Chaotica, how could you not pick this one? This is a great episode. It's entertaining. It's funny. The reason why I put this at the end is because you kind of need to know the characters in order to enjoy this episode. Now, even if you didn't know the characters, you would still think it's fun. But knowing the characters adds that much more depth to it because it brings out why Janeway would be uncomfortable doing this. It brings out the ego of the Doctor, why it's funny that Tom Paris is obsessed with this stuff. It's clean because it's replicating 1950s. Sci-fi cinema, you know that there's not going to be any gratuitous violence or weird sexuality or anything like that. And so it's completely clean and it's just all in good fun. These are based off these serials, these old serials, and those were geared towards children. And so in essence, this episode is geared towards children as well as the child that you once knew within yourself.
Totally. Oh, I completely agree. This is definitely something that I think does mean more if you do know Voyager, but I don't feel like it's completely off base if, say, a kid who's never watched Voyager steps in with this episode for the first time. They're going to be able to get into it. They're certainly not going to know the level of depth. Like you said, little nuances that make it even more entertaining. But even with the blank slate, I feel like you can go in and you can enjoy it. And it's going to be, it's got action, it's entertaining, it's funny, and it's got good physical comedy, too. I mean, that's something really draws kids in. And so I feel like this is absolutely an irresistible pick. Yes, that's why I saved it for last, too.
All right. Well, that is our pick. And as Char stated earlier, we'd love to hear what you guys think. And we'd love to hear what your ranking is, and you can go to trek.fm/forums to talk to each other, or you can go to trek.fm/contact and talk directly to us. Or you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin. And Char, where can we find you?
You can find me at Oh The Profanity. Now, whether or not Voyager is good for kids is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
We're on the same page.
Yes.
High five.
This is creepy.
Yeah.
We actually did it,
we
too.
Tried
you guys
to do
missed
a high
it.
Five through the camera, so that was embarrassing, but whatever.
Continuing mission.
I feel like this, like that's a really great idea for a stoner movie. So maybe for the next project, I don't know.
And the name of the film will be Giant Green Lazy Susan.
There you go.
Earl Grey.
VHS Star Trek interactive board game.
I'm so glad you
brought
this up.
Humans have taken over the Enterprise. You now have 30 minutes to stop me.
The Ready Room.
He says, I think your compassion for this species is overriding your judgment. And Archer says, my compassion guides my judgment. Mm-hmm. And I really like that line because I felt like that really just kind of sums everything up.
The Orb.
So imagine we didn't have Opaka. Imagine we had Kai Winn from the very beginning. How do you think the setup of the series would have been?
Axanar, the official podcast.
So is the full-length Axanar going to be in the same style, the same documentary style as Prelude to Axanar? And the answer is no. No, absolutely not. Axanar itself will be a full-length movie, a feature movie, just like you would, you know, any other Star Trek movie or other movie.
To the journey!
Cable is definitely more suited toward a niche show like Star Trek is.
Compared to broadcast, yes, I think it's...
Yeah, absolutely. It's much more probable that we would see it on, say... AMC than we would on NBC.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
When Star Trek 2009 came out, I made a joke to somebody at some point that J.J. Abrams got all of his lens flares from Close Encounters surplus.
Yeah.
That they just didn't use them all and he just bought them at some sort of maybe a garage sale or something.
Warp 5.
You know pretty well which way the insectoids and the reptilians are... Yeah. Are going to come down on any issue. It's left up to the indecisive one. Instead of the 12 angry men, it's the 6 angry Zindi.
Melodic Treks.
Now, as I mentioned, he wrote and conducted the scores for 2 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise in the 2nd season. They are Kanemar and Regeneration. And Regeneration is one of the best episodes of Star Trek Enterprise ever, in my humble opinion.
Literary Treks.
We're trying to keep it light. We're trying to keep it personable. We're trying to keep it fun. If Vanguard, you know, was all about being the Battlestar Galactica reboot of Star Trek, this is more about trying to be the Eureka or the Warehouse 13.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are virtually on every single platform, any kind of device, any way that you want to access our podcast. And I would recommend doing what I do. Go to the master feed and listen to them all. Yes, it is time-consuming, but we provide you quality Trek content every single day of the week. And none of this would be possible without the help of our sponsor, and so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So, as much fun as this one has been, Tristan, we've got to focus on next week now. What are we doing?
That we do, and what we're doing is we're doing a commentary, and so many of you have reached out to us individually and said how much you love our commentaries, and that means a lot to us because that's just us riffing. We don't watch these beforehand. We don't plan out what we're going to say. It's just Char and I like we're watching it in our living room together. And so we love doing them, and we're glad you love listening to them. And we try to do them in a way where you don't need to watch the episode in order to enjoy it. And that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to do another commentary, and it's about real life, where the Doctor creates his own family on the holodeck. But you'll have to tune in next week to hear it. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!